From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to me Ahmad Faisal in English program. Hopefully you are so fine and still have spirit to listen our program today. And for these 60 minutes ahead, we would like to accompany you with various segments that can not only entertain you, but also educate as well as inform you our several beneficial information and entertainment such as news, commentary, and also other self-information as well as Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with news. So stay tuned with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, here is the news, first the headlines. Denpasar and Vietnamese governments explore sister city cooperation. Oman's oil and gas company explores cooperation with Pertamina. Now the news in detail. The city government of Denpasar and the Vietnamese government explore sister city cooperation again in a bid to boost innovation and support the advancement of the two regions. The sister city cooperation was highlighted at the meeting held between Mayor of Denpasar Ida Bagus Dai Dharmawijaya Mantra and Vietnamese Ambassador to Indonesia Pham Vien Quang at Dharma Negara Alia Building in Denpasar on Tuesday. Ambassador Pham Vien Quang said that his courtesy call aims to strengthen the relations between the Vietnamese government with Denpasar City Government and explore the sister city cooperation with Denpasar City Government. As quoted by Antara, the cooperation will focus on heritage and tourism, which will be implemented in the form of action plan, co-branding artist performance, co-festival to festival, and co-exhibition. In addition, Denpasar Mayor Rai Dharmawijaya explained that Denpasar and Hue, which is one of the cities in Vietnamese, have similarities in terms of cultural development and tourism, so that both parties can support each other to advance their regions. The commitment to realizing the cooperation has been initiated through the implementation of Denpasar Festival 2019 and Color Run, which were supported by the Vietnam Jet and Vietnam Airlines. Oman's oil and gas company, the Overseas Oil and Gas OOG, is keen on strengthening relations with Indonesian state-owned oil and gas company PT Pertamina through the cooperation of establishing oil refinery in Bontang, East Kalimantan. The effort to realize the cooperation was mentioned in an official letter sent to Pertamina on Tuesday. The oil and gas company emphasized its commitment to developing oil refinery and petrochemical sector in Indonesia through the latter. As quoted by Republika, Director of the Overseas Oil and Gas OOG, Rudy Bagindo, hoped that PT Pertamina could follow up the latter, such as by holding dialogue so that both parties can realize the cooperation again, considering that the OOG and Pertamina have implemented a number of projects before. Rudy pointed out that the Overseas Oil and Gas is committed to advancing the relations between the Kingdom of Oman and the Indonesian government, particularly through the cooperation of developing oil refinery. Therefore, Rudy hoped that Pertamina could positively improve the OOG's invitation to collaborate in developing oil refinery. Indonesian House of Representatives or DPR Speaker Puan Maharani perceived that unity and integrity of the Indonesian people are fundamental to face the complexities in 2020, since Indonesia will face 270 simultaneous regional elections in 2020. It was stated by Puan Maharani in her press release received in Jakarta on Tuesday. As quoted by Antara, Puan called on the Indonesian people to put forward the spirit of togetherness and unity in facing regional elections because the elections are supposed to search for the best leaders instead of creating horizontal conflict. The chairman of DPR explained that the Indonesian government, along with the House of Representatives, would ensure that the implementation of the regional elections 2020 would uphold the principles of honesty and fairness. She is optimistic that mutual cooperation would help Indonesia overcome the challenges in 2020. The Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry, or Kemenlu, confirmed that a Chinese Coast Guard boat had trespassed into Indonesia's exclusive economic zone over the Natuna waters on Monday. They also announced that acts of illegal fishing were committed by the boat during the incident, said the ministry's official press release on Tuesday, as quoted by Tempo. Following the incident, the Indonesian government has officially summoned China's ambassador in Jakarta and filed a firm protest against what happened over one of the world's most disputed sea borders. The ministry underlined that Indonesia's exclusive economic zone is asserted in the United Nations Convention on the Law of the Sea and that China must respect the treaty. The ministry reiterated its stance that the country is a non-claimant state in the South China Sea and that it has no overlapping jurisdiction with China. The Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry, or KADIN, hoped that the investment climate in Indonesia could boost the national industry in 2020 and provide significant contribution to the growth of Indonesia's economy. That was stated by Deputy Chairman of the Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry for the International Affairs, Sinta Wijaya, in Jakarta on Tuesday, as quoted by Antara. Sinta remarked that despite the economic challenges that will still keep hampering the global economy in 2020, Indonesia can mitigate the impacts of the challenges through the tax incentive and omnibus law in a bid to stimulate investment. Sinta pointed out that the growth of Indonesia's industry as well as its contribution to the gross domestic product in 2019 had not been optimum. Therefore, according to her, the tax incentive and omnibus law are expected to bolster Indonesia's investment amid the global challenges. She also reiterated that Indonesia needs to create effective business climate in a bid to facilitate investors by simplifying regulation and bureaucracy. The National Institute of Aeronautics and Space, or LAPAN, recently received an award from United Nations, or UN, Platform for Space-Based Information for Disaster Management and Emergency Response. It was remarked by head of the National Institute of Aeronautics and Space, Thomas Jamaluddin, in Jakarta on Tuesday. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Thomas pointed out that the award shows the appreciation of the United Nations for the outstanding services of LAPAN. He exemplified one of the programs that LAPAN had implemented in a bid to support disaster management, which was the ZAP 2.0 license agreement, which was signed between the Center for Remote Sensing at LAPAN and PT Media Rekayasa Lintas on the utilization of potential fishing zone. In addition, the National Institute of Aeronautics and Space also signed agreement with PT Industri Telekomunikasi Indonesia on the commercialization of the Santanu rain sensor. The technology aims to provide accurate weather forecasts and support the efforts of early warning of extreme weather. The West End is Pangandaran Beaches in Pangandaran Regency, West Java will have new looks in 2020 after the first revitalization of the objects, which includes the development of public open space and access to the beaches. As quoted by Antara, Governor of West Java Ridwan Kamil inaugurated the Air Mancur Plaza in the end of 2019 to commemorate the completion of the first revitalization of the West and East Pangandaran beaches. Governor Ridwan Kamil explained that the West Java government also develops sidewalks for pedestrians to support their convenience. He emphasized the importance of revitalization of the West and East Pangandaran beaches because Pangandaran is one of the pivotal tourism attractions in West Java. In addition, the revitalization of Pangandaran beaches can improve the economy of local people. The governor pointed out that the collaboration between the government and related stakeholders will help Pangandaran become a world-class tourism destination, as Pangandaran is projected to be the Hawaii of West Java. Well, listener, that's the news read by Ahmad Faisal.
Welcome back to Today in History, a daily segment of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which brings back people and events from this day in the past as recorded in history. We start with an event on January 1, 1990, T.B. Simatupang passes away. Lieutenant General retired Tahi Bunar Simatupang, or more commonly known as T.B. Simatupang, is an Indonesian national hero. Simatupang was appointed by President Sukarno as the Chief of Staff of the Armed Forces of the Republic of Indonesia, or KASAP, after the great Commander General Sudirman died in 1950. He became the Chief of Staff of the Armed Forces, or KASAP, until 1953. KASAP's position in the organizational hierarchy at that time was on Chief of Army Staff, Chief of Naval Staff, Chief of Staff of the Air Forces, and is under the responsibility of the Minister of Defense. Simatupang died on January 1, 1990, in Jakarta, and was buried at Kalibata Heroes Cemetery. On November 8, 2013, President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono gave the title of National Hero to T.B. Simatupang. The current name is also immortalized as one of the major streets in the name of Cilandak, South Jakarta. On January 1, 1984, Soekarno-Hatta International Airport is officially opened. Soekarno-Hatta International Airport is a major airport which serves flights in Indonesia. The airport is named inappropriate to the character's name of proclamators of the Indonesian independence, Soekarno and Muhammad Hatta, who are also become the first president and vice president of Indonesia. The airport replacing Kemayoran Airport and Halim Perdana Kusuma Airport, Jakarta. The airport was designed by French architect Paul Andrew, who also designed the Charles de Gaulle Airport in Paris, France. One of the major characteristics of the airport is the local architectural style and tropical gardens in the long of waiting area. Soekarno-Hatta International Airport has 180 check-in counters, 42 baggage, and 45 gates. We conclude the segment of Today in History with the next event on January 1, 1995. The World Trade Organization, WTO, is established. The World Trade Organization, WTO, is an intergovernmental organization which regulates international trade. The WTO officially commenced on January 1, 1995, under the Americas Agreement, signed by 123 nations on 15 of April 1994, replacing the General Agreement on Tariffs and Trade, or GATT, which commenced in 1948. Most of the issues that the WTO focuses on derive from previous trade negotiations, especially from the Uruguay Round 1986 to 1994. The WTO is attempting to complete negotiations on the Doha Development Round, which was launched in 2001 with an explicit focus on developing countries. As of June 2012, the future of the Doha Round remained uncertain. The work program lists 21 subjects in which the original deadline of January 1, 2005 was missed and the round is still incomplete. The conflict between free trade on industrial goods and services but retention of protectionism on farm subsidies to domestic agricultural sector and the substantiation of fair trade on agricultural products remain the major obstacles. This impasse has made it impossible to launch new WTO negotiations beyond the Doha development round. As a result, there have been an increasing number of bilateral free trade agreements between governments. Listener, that was Today in History.
Yeah.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. For this segment, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, here is My Indonesia. The title of My Indonesia for today's edition is Micro Wakaf Bank Can Help Small Medium Enterprises Avoid Loan Sharks. Micro Wakaf Bank facility at Islamic boarding schools can avoid people from loan sharks to get business capital. That was stated by President Joko Widodo when inaugurating Micro Wakaf Bank at Kaliwungu Square, Kendal, Central Java on Monday. President Joko Widodo inaugurated Api Kaliwungu Micro Wakaf Bank and Al Fadlu to Islamic Boarding School Micro Wakaf Bank. According to the President, there have been 56 micro wakaf banks reaching 25,000 customers of micro small medium enterprises. Micro Wakaf Bank is a non-bank and non-formal financial body in the form of Sharia micro financial body. Micro Wakaf Bank is established under the License of Financial Services Authority or OJK that provides capital or funding access for underprivileged people who do not have access to formal financial bodies. Meanwhile, in the operational, Financial Services Authority cooperates with arms agencies, Islamic boarding school, and community figures, including in guidance for the customers. According to President Joko Widodo, fund disbursed by Micro Wakaf Bank had been 34 billion rupiah. President explained 50 more Micro Wakaf Bank units will be opened in 2020 with permit from OJK. President guaranteed government attempts to open many Micro Wakaf banks to open funding access for people and to find capital for micro, small, and medium enterprises. President also explained that the customers must calculate their business carefully and do not use fund for purchasing consumptive goods. Therefore, the people will be able to receive benefit and pay the loan well. In the same opportunity, President Joko Widodo asked the people to use the loan from Micro Wakaf Bank carefully. Loan system of Micro Wakaf Bank is about mutual trust. The agreement must be made in single meeting, without any collateral in the loan process. Because Micro Wakaf Bank aims to support micro small medium enterprises that cannot borrow fund from banks so that there is no disparity. Meanwhile, OJK Board of Commissioner Chairperson Wim Boh Santoso asked the micro small medium enterprises players to use the Micro Wakaf Bank because the target is those who are rejected by bank since they do not have collateral besides their business, taxpayer number, and business permit. Wim Boh affirmed OJK cooperates with big companies as donor. Facility of Micro Wakaf Bank for micro small medium enterprises can help them avoid loan sharks. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Ahmad Faisal.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Took out. kejam, kejamnya dunia. Tiada lagi keadilan. Untuk apa ku di sini? Mencerita
listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, after listening Indonesian song, it is the right time for us to present next segment that talk about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people. And here is Indonesian Wonder.
Listener, in today's Indonesian Wonder, I'm going to take you to visit a place called Batu Cermin Cave in Labuan Bajo, East Nusa Tenggara. Like an incident in a science fiction book, Batu Cermin Cave, which is also called Watu Cermin by local people, is able to reflect the light on the stone's wall to another area in the cave. Just like a mirror, the cave is unlike other caves, is able to muffle sound, so there is no echo which is caused by the sound. The cave can be accessed from Labuan Bajo around 15 minutes by using car or motorcycle. Its road is relatively smooth. Along the street, your eyes will be spoiled with green hills and trees.
At Batu Cermin Cave, visitors can visit a restaurant and parking area, which is quite wide. After buying tickets, visitors should walk around 300 meters to access the cave. You don't have to worry to get bored because there is a cluster of shady bamboo trees which will spoil your eyes. Sometimes the visitors will see monkeys, which are hanging on tree or sitting on the left and the right of the road. Batu Cermin Cave has gotten attention for the first time by the world in 1951 due to archaeologists' research who was also missionaries from the Netherlands, Theodor Verhoeven. Million years ago, the cave's position was under the sea. In the past, there was earthquake, so that some regions on Flores Island sunk, but there was also some regions arose to the surface. One of them is Batu Cermin Cave. The reflection of the sun at the valley can light up around 60% of the cave. But this moment does not happen every day. It depends on the movement of the earth and position of the sun. The reflection of the light can enter the cave has become the original name of the cave. A 20 to 30 minutes tourism activity in Batu Cermin Cave will make the visitors remember the past story of Flores by witnessing historical heritages such as animals, fossils, and coral reefs that are still well protected. The uniqueness makes tourist attraction never empty of visitors, both domestic and international. Listener, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today's edition. Thank you for listening.
Kau begitu indah, kau membuat
Listener, for the next segment, we will present you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian Language, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian language. And this program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. And here is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Lessons in the Indonesian language on the radio, introducing some Indonesian vocabulary and tips on how to use it in conversation. This segment is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development and Cultivation Agency at the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is berapa lama or how long? Next is a conversation about berapa lama or how long. Tony is in Prambanan Temple area along with his friend Joko. Joko wants to know about Tony's plan to stay in Jogja.
Berapa lama kamu akan tinggal di Jogja?
Seminggu.
Oh, hanya sebentar.
Iya.
As usual, after the conversation, I'll introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Berapa lama? Berapa lama, which means how long. Akan, akan, which means will. Berapa lama kamu akan tinggal di Jogja? Berapa lama kamu akan tinggal di Jogja? Which means, how long will you stay in Jogja? Seminggu. Seminggu, which means one week. Hanya sebentar. Hanya sebentar. Which means, only a few days. To ask duration in general, you can use the word berapa lama. For examples, berapa lama kamu akan tinggal di Jogja? Which means, how long will you live in Jogja? But you can ask someone specifically by using unit of time, like berapa jam or how many hours, berapa hari or how many days, berapa minggu or how many weeks, berapa tahun, or how many years. For examples, Tony, berapa tahun kamu tinggal di London? Berapa tahun kamu tinggal di London? Which means, how many years have you lived in London? Joko, 2 tahun. 2 tahun, which means 2 years. Joko, berapa minggu kamu akan tinggal di Jogja? Berapa minggu kamu akan tinggal di Jogja? Which means, how many weeks will you stay in Jogja? Tony, seminggu. Seminggu, which means 1 week. Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, for more details, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Berapa lama kamu akan tinggal di Jogja?
Seminggu.
Oh, hanya sebentar.
Iya.
Well, listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. A lesson in Bahasa Indonesia on the radio. Hopefully, this edition has been helpful to those who want to know about Bahasa Indonesia. See you next week for more interesting topics. Sampai jumpa lagi.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. And listeners, next segment we would like to give you information about Indonesian music. Hopefully, it can also entertain you. Here is Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Listener, welcome back to Music Corner. Today, I present a song from Bengkulu entitled Bulan Tabot. The song, which was composed by Firdaus Burhan, tells about one of cultures in Bengkulu, namely Tabot tradition, which is usually celebrated to welcome Islamic New Year. The lyrics depict about festivity of Tabot celebration that is colored by drum and flute rhythms and dances. It is expected the Tabot tradition is still preserved from generation to generation. Well, listener, here is the song Bulan Tabot by Yan Bastian. Happy listening!
Voice of Indonesia.
saji dekat di asai gimati.
We end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your kind attention, for listening our English program. And don't go anywhere and keep listening for our another program. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at voindonesia, and our email address voi@voinews.id.